Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Co-host tonight, Michael P. McCarthy, back from vacation, finally.
Back from vacation.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
And going on vacation again in a week or two.
I was only gone a week.
When do I get to go on vacation, Mikey?
You live on vacation.
You live on vacation. Listen, that's his line now. He says, you live on vacation. I get to go on vacation now. So,
well, on vacation, you do what you want, right? And isn't that what you do every day?
That's what I do every day, Mike. Yeah, I just sit around and say, what am I going to do today? Yeah, I don't have any appointments. I don't have anything to worry about. Anyway, we're here on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. But tonight, Mike, I wanted to address a topic that we don't get a lot of calls on, and it frustrates me that we're not getting a lot of calls on this because it is the number one topic that we fix on almost every client that walks in the door with to do a financial physical.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, what I'm talking about is risk management. So you get auto insurance, you get home insurance, you get life insurance, you get disability insurance, you may get long-term care insurance, and you just assume that you've got a good policy. And nothing could be further from the truth, because it is the number one area we fix with clients when they come to see us. Why? Because insurance agents, in my opinion, do not focus on risk management. They focus on sales. And sales has to do with compensation, and it has to do with profit margins and so forth. Risk management has to deal with what are you dealing with? What's the risk? Could it devastate your life? If it could devastate your life, how do you deal with it? And what are ways to mitigate it? And then finally, should I be insuring it? And if I should be insuring it, how much should I be paying to insure it? And what are the best companies to insure it with? That's risk management. Right, Mikey?
Right.
Are you there?
Yep.
Oh, you got a call.
I got a call. That was my hand signal to you through our camera.
No, wait. I'm still on a roll, though,
Mike. I know.
So go ahead to your caller.
All right. Let's go to Dennis in Woodbine. Dennis, how can we help?
Good evening. I have a question. I have two questions, a general question and a specific question pertaining to an irrevocable trust.
Okay.
The general question is, when a beneficiary under an irrevocable trust inherits real estate, does that real estate receive a step-up in basis for income tax purposes?
Possibly. So you have to tell me what kind of irrevocable trust it was. How was it created? Who created it? Was it a grantor trust or was it not a grantor trust, et cetera, et cetera?
It was a grantor trust that was created by a husband and wife.
Medicaid purposes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Normally, it gets a step-up in basis. If it's a grantor trust, then it gets a step-up in basis.
Okay.
But I can't tell you that for sure. I'm just telling you, a good general understanding of grantor trust is going to get a step-up in basis when it comes to you.
Okay. Is there an IRS publication that covers that?
There probably is, but it probably wouldn't be helpful to you if you've done anything with IRS publications and read them and so forth. What you're looking for, was it as a complete gift or was it an incomplete gift? Normally, Medicaid trusts are incomplete gifts for estate tax purposes, but completed gifts for Medicaid purposes. That's why you get the step up in basis.
Okay, very good. So then the second question is, The situation is there are two beneficiaries under an irrevocable trust, and the trust contains only real estate to be divided equally between the two beneficiaries. So one beneficiary wants the property, wants to take physical ownership of the real estate, but the other beneficiary just wants the cash value of her half of the real estate. So how is that best accomplished in a tax-efficient manner.
In a tax-efficient manner, the other person would just give you the cash for whatever your value is. So you negotiate out a deal, and you say, okay, the property's worth $350,000. I want $175,000. And she may come back to you and say, well, wait a minute, you're not paying real estate commissions if we had to sell it and so forth. Let's assume we're only going to net $325,000. So I'm going to give you $167,500 or whatever. And you negotiate a deal, and she gives you that amount of cash, and it's tax-free because you got to step up in basis, and end of the story.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, it should be pretty simple, my friend.
Very good. Well, I know I just stumbled onto your program about a year ago, and I've been listening to it, and you all are a wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate you being on the air.
Well,
thank you so much.
I appreciate you calling and asking a question tonight.
Take care.
You
Take
too.
Care. Thank you.
Bye.
So, Mikey, we're almost out of time this segment, but I'm talking about risk management also. I'm talking open show, but risk management is what we're focused on tonight. But if you want to call in with any question, but preferably risk management, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. This is Money, Riches, and Wealth. We'll be right back. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show, but we really would love to talk about risk management, auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance, long-term care insurance, and so forth, and why the industry tends to leave people under or over protected. That's the key. And some industries, some parts of the insurance industry leave you underprotected. Some parts of the insurance industry leave you overprotected. And in or improperly protected. That's another way to put it. So anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. Mike,
yep,
who's on the line?
We got some callers. We got Joe.
Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I believe you have a birthday.
Yeah, do you know what the great day is? It's July 31st.
Okay,
that's the great day.
I knew it was shortly after mine.
When's yours?
Mine was Monday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Wow. July 25th.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. I had another friend, Brian Leeser, back in college. He was born on July 25th also. So
I just want to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for listening, my friend.
All right, man.
Take care.
Bye.
And it is my birthday, Mike, the great day, July 31st.
Yeah, just in case anybody wants to impersonate you online,
calendar,
it's July
right?
31st.
It's listed in calendar as the great day, isn't
it? The company calendar does have that listed.
Anyway, you have anybody else online, Mikey?
I do. Let's go with Mary. Mary, how can we help?
Yes, hi. This is a great show to call this in. So I live in Maryland Line, and, you know, a couple weeks ago we had a lot of storm damage.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
So I'm wondering, for my house, I have a wooded lot, a lot of big trees. What is the best kind of homeowner's insurance to get? Replacement costs, and these are different kinds.
The company you should be with, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is Erie Insurance. And if you can get with Erie, they have the best policy. It's an HO5 policy, and it'll cover everything and anything, and it'll guarantee replacement costs on no matter what it costs to replace your house. Unconditionally, when I was in Maryland, I had it for myself for 40 years. And if I could get them down here in Florida, I would do the same. But they're only in Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, you know, et cetera, mid-Atlantic states.
And what did you say that's the HA cost? Or
HO5, the type
HO5.
Of policy.
HO5. So there's HO5. Different types of homeowners insurance, and it depends on what type of damages, you know, what are the causes of the damage as to whether they'll cover it or not. And HO3 covers certain things. HO5 covers pretty much everything. It's only what they exclude that they don't cover in an HO5. It's a long story, but trust me, you want an HO5 and you want a company like Erie doing it for
you. Okay. Okay, now, if a tree came down on my house, now here's the problem. I got a lot of trees. So is it better to, the tree guy said they look healthy there, but they're really large. Is it better to pay for insurance, or is it better and take a chance of the trees coming down or get the trees cut down?
Well, cutting the tree down is a very expensive proposition, right?
Right.
So it's at least $2,000-$3,000 a tree, as big as you're saying they are. I don't know how many you have to take down that could potentially hit her house.
So I live probably not terribly far from you. I live in the northern part of Falston, just below Jarrettsville. Had that same storm do a heck of a lot of damage. I will say that I looked at the trees that could hit my daughter's rooms, and I had those taken down. But because I live in the woods, I said, drop them in the woods and leave them there. And that
there
was, I got four trees done for $1,500.
Well, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Falston Tree Service. We'll give them a plug.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry, what tree service?
It was Falston Tree Service.
Oh, Falston, okay. So if a tree hits my house, what do I do? I call, it's raining, tree hits my house, I call the insurance company. Meanwhile, water is coming down my house. How do I take care of that?
Tarp.
Well, you can't do anything when the storm's coming down, because insurance companies don't require you to endanger your life to protect the asset, okay? So that's the first thing you have to keep in mind. You just do what you can to keep yourself safe while the storm's going through. Once the storm's over, then Mike's right. Then you got to try to figure out how to tarp it or something of that sort.
And who would I call for that?
Well, you call my friend Kelly True.
Oh, he's not going to. But the tree service might be able to come out and help you while they get going. Local handyman.
How many trees do you think could hit your house?
That's what you said.
How many trees do you think could hit your house?
Well, I got about 50 big ones.
That could hit your house?
Yeah, they're close to the house.
Wow. Wow, she would have a lumberjack yard there, Mike, if she took all those down. That'd be $100,000.
Yeah. Well, get the insurance then.
Yeah, get the insurance. But, you know, if those trees have been there this long, their probably root system is pretty darn deep. I wouldn't expect them to come down unless something really horrible came through.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I did have one tree guy out here, and he said, they look like they were pretty sturdy. I wouldn't worry about it. But in the front of my house, they're like 20 feet away. In the back of my house, they're closer than that.
Are you married or single?
Single.
Single. Well, I would sell the house and move into a condo.
I'm thinking about it.
Well, I would do it quicker.
Well, I'll give you another piece of good, make you feel better. When you live in the trees like I do and like you do, the trees on the outside protect the trees on the inside. So often, like when a straight line wind or something like that comes through, you might have the trees furthest out getting damaged, but the ones close to your house, they've already had the wind broken. And that's what happened at my house. I didn't have anything right at my house, but when I got to the edge of the forested area, that's where all the damage was.
Right.
Well, that's what I thought. And I told one of the tree guys that, and he said, no, no, no. And I said, yeah, I think so. The little trees in the back, they're small. And I think they would go first.
Yeah.
We wanted to take out the first line. And I said, no, they're the closest ones to the house. They're the strongest.
I think your best bet is to sell your house and move to something simpler that you're single and so forth and go from there. All right?
All right.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, let me play devil's advocate with you for just a minute. So Drew talked about Erie and how everyone should quote that. And I think that if you have a normal house, even a big normal house, and a normal overall insurance situation, that is almost all, very, very frequently going to come in at you know, very competitive and very good coverage. But there are certain scenarios, such as if you have a very unique home, such as a timber-built house, or...
Well, there's always going to be unique situations, but for what she was talking about, Erie's probably the way to go. But I hear what you're saying.
Yep. And we're here in the state of Maryland. There's a lot of boat owners up here. And if you're like me, once you try to start insuring multiple things, some carriers may be more competitive than others. So for me, Encompass beat Erie.
That's true. Let's go to Dave.
All right, Dave. Well, all right, Dave and Perry Hall, we only got a couple minutes. We might have to finish your call at the end.
Okay, well, I have two questions about is there any concern of negligence that the insurance company would hold against you? If you had a dead tree on your property, storm comes along and it falls over and lands on your house. And the other question is, I have a neighbor who's always said, I can't wait for your tree to fall on my house so that your insurance can pay for my house to be rebuilt.
That's a complicated question, and I don't have a perfect answer for you. But yes, both of those situations can happen. If you have a dead tree that you should have removed, and then all of a sudden a storm comes through and it falls on your house and damages it, there is a possibility that the insurance company could negate the insurance and say that was your negligence for not dealing with that tree. Now, how dead it was is the real question, you know, how dangerous it was. That's the real question that makes it difficult for the insurance company and so forth. Same for your neighbor, you know.
Dave, let me put you on hold and come back to you after the break. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right, so we're still on an open show. We'll be right back with more Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes, and it is my birthday. I don't like to talk about it, Mike, but it is my birthday.
No, you don't.
It's not today. It's Sunday, July 31st, but we don't want to celebrate it in August, so we always celebrate it in the great month of July, the great day in the great month of July, right?
You in the United States.
Yep. They don't do fireworks yet on my day. So
no, we can arrange that.
We'll wait to see if they can work that out for us.
All right.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, and you feel free to call in and ask your question, any question on personal finance. But one thing we wanted to talk about a lot tonight is risk management, homeowners insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, long-term care insurance, and so forth. Because when we do a financial physical, 90-some percent of the time we're fixing their insurances. Because it doesn't necessarily, the insurance industry does not focus on risk management. They focus on profit and profit margins, in my opinion, and leave people either over or underinsured, and neither is good. Anyway, Mike, we're going back to Dave real quick.
Yeah, Dave, and Dave, Drew did some during-the-break research for you.
Okay. Yes, I did, and the answer was exactly what I thought, that some companies will cover you if a dead tree falls on your home, but a lot of companies will not cover you if you should have maintained that dead tree. And your neighbor definitely would have a case against you if he can prove that your tree was dead and it was negligent on your part by not taking that tree down before it fell on his house.
And if he was so bold, he may have also recorded some evidence.
Yes. And but he doesn't have the right to come on your property and take the tree down because it's your responsibility to take it down.
Now, what kind of health? If you have a healthy tree, like with this past storm, if that
totally different story
fall on someone's house,
not your fault. It's an act of God, and his policy, his coverage covers that.
So that means that I should make sure that I have good coverage in case a neighbor's tree falls on my house.
Absolutely. Right. If you have a neighbor with a tree real big that's towering over your house, you better make sure you have good coverage.
Okay. Very good. Thank
All right.
you.
All right, thanks, Dave. All right, we're going to keep on going through callers here.
Yep, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Very good.
Hal.
All right, we're going to Mike. Mike, how can we help you? And we'll get to Hal next.
Hi, guys. Hey, a previous caller, the woman asked what you should do once a tree hit her house as far as tarping.
Right.
A few years ago, our roof was damaged by a storm. I immediately contacted our homeowners insurance, and they gave us phone numbers for contractors who would come out and tarp the house.
That's very common. Good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
My one suggestion would be this, that if you have, you know, you have damage occur to your house, once the family and pets are safe, immediately contact your insurance company, even if the storm isn't over, because in our case, the damage occurred kind of at the end of the storm, but another major one was coming. And because we're able to get a contractor out and roof it, we are able to, like, minimize the damage. In fact, it literally started raining as they were finishing putting up the tarp. And so, and I would not recommend homeowners go onto their roof, especially if you have a tree fall,
because definitely
it can compromise the roof structurally. So you may start walking on something that's not going to hold. So let a contractor who has insurance and all that deal with it.
But that's a good point that you made, is that you should, as soon as possible, notify your insurance company, even if the storm's going on. Notify your insurance company that you've had a serious damage to your house and so forth, and they'll do what they can to minimize it. It's in their interest and your interest to minimize damage to that house as soon as possible. Good point. All right.
Thanks,
That's
Mike.
It. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right, we'll go right to Hal. Hal, how can we help?
You guys got a good show.
Thank you.
Social Security, once the younger spouse or the spouse is younger, takes it. And the older one dies, they have to wait to the full retirement, and they can get the older ones to the most higher benefit.
So, you know, let's rephrase the question, okay? So what you're saying is you've got a younger spouse and an older spouse, and let's assume the younger spouse has the lower Social Security amount, okay?
Correct.
And the older spouse has the higher Social Security amount. And the younger spouse takes their Social Security at a younger age, let's say 64. But the older spouse decides to wait until they're 70, okay? And the older spouse dies, God forbid, before they turn 70. Then the younger spouse would have the option to go in and switch from their own insurance to their spouse's insurance, whichever is higher, if they want to. Or they can wait and take survivor's insurance at their full retirement age. Now, this is a very important point. Survivor's insurance for Social Security maxes out at age full retirement age, at your full retirement age. So if my full retirement age personally is 66 and 6 months. So if my spouse were to die and I wanted to take her survivor's benefit at the maximum amount, I would claim it 66 and 6 months. But my own Social Security account maxes out at age 70. And this is where the game comes in. If you have a spouse that passed away, you have to determine whose benefit is higher, the survivor's benefit, which maxes out at my full retirement age, 66 and 6 months, or my own Social Security, which maxes out at age 70. So if it's my Social Security, I want to take the survivor's Social Security as soon as I can take it without losing any benefit, and then go back and claim my own at 70. If, on the other hand, my survivor's benefit is the max amount, then I want to claim it as soon as I hit my full retirement age.
Okay, that's good. And I guess the other thing is for RMDs, on the 403B Roth, is there a required... Is it required at 72?
So the answer is yes, but anybody who leaves money in a Roth 403B or a Roth 401K without a very specific reason is making a serious mistake. All Roth 401Ks and all Roth 403Bs, unless you have a very specific reason, such as liability, you're concerned about somebody suing you, that's one of the few that I can think of, should be rolled over to a Roth IRA as soon as possible before you turn 72, because Roth IRAs do not have a required minimum distribution, but a Roth 403B does.
You take them, you don't pay tax on it, but you got to take it out.
You have to take it out, but you think about it. You just lost that tax-free compounding for the life of you and your spouse, however long that is, plus 10 years of your children. Why would I want to ever lose that? Don't lose it. Don't make that mistake. Roll it over to a Roth IRA unless you have a very specific reason to leave it in a 403B or a 401K.
I guess so. One thing would be they have like a guaranteed 3% rate.
I that wouldn't be worth it because I can get guaranteed 3% rates right now easily. I can get a 5-year treasury yielding 3.25% almost right now.
Okay. Well, I guess on your theme for insurance, we had Dutch elm disease come through. A lot of the trees were bare with some leaves. It rained really hard. And all the full ones blew over, not the dead ones.
That's funny. That's interesting. All right, good question.
Tipped over, so. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, Mikey, we're almost out of time in this segment. Anybody else online?
We do have some folks online, but I think this is we'll give them more time by taking them after the break. So this is just a great time to remind everyone to call in to 410-922-6680 if they have any questions. And with that, we'll be helping Jim and Lee after the break.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Mikey, I think we got callers online, so let's go right to them.
All right. Jim in Ellicott City. Jim, how can we help?
Hi. Recently, I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal concerning a situation on a home mortgage where the parents can provide a mortgage for their child, rather than the child getting the mortgage through a regular, you know, a bank or something mm-hmm. like that. And there's benefits to doing that, financial benefits.
Right.
Yep. And, so I understand the IRS sets the interest rate that is allowable, and right. the child would pay the parents that interest rate.
Right. Now, you know, you didn't wish me a happy birthday, but I'm going to
I'm sorry.
I'm going to wish you, and I'm going to answer your question anyway.
Happy birthday.
There are pluses and minuses to that. I mean, it's a correct statement and it's a correct story, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not a big fan of it unless the parents don't need the money and the parents aren't getting that much on money sitting in a bank or something anyway.
Okay.
But the big problem I have on it is when you lend money to family, there's a totally different attitude about paying it back as to when you lend it and borrow it from a bank. You borrow money from a bank, you may damn well make sure you pay it back. But when you borrow money from mom and dad, every single little time that you have a little bit tight money, you know, you're like, you know, hey, can is it okay if I, you know, and so forth. And, you know, it can get to be an agitation between family. And so
okay.
I'm not a big fan of lending money to family unless you want to consider it a gift. So if you lend money to family and you say, okay, here's a $400,000 mortgage, we're going to do it at 3%, like the IRS says I can do it at, et cetera, et cetera. But in your mind, in your wife's mind, you think of it as a gift. And if the kids come and ask you every month to forgive the loan, you say, eh, no big deal. Fine, you know, because I considered it a gift the day I gave it to you.
But then it is a gift.
Well, I understand, but it's not a big deal. You know, most people, unless you're worth hundreds of millions or millions and millions of dollars, most people, it's not a big deal that it's a gift.
So, Jim, I'll say that we have had multiple client households successfully do this.
Uh-huh.
We've always used a local attorney to draft up the documents, making sure everything's official. And the thing that, and I'm just going to rephrase what Drew said, is the thing that I've always heard Drew tell people is, hey, do if you want to do the loan, and if you don't get paid back, you don't care and you're not going to be mad at your kid, go for it.
Yeah, we don't want you to lose relationship with people
right.
because over money. And that happens too often, my friend.
Now, there might be a fly in the ointment here as far as executing this, because he purchased a house in November 2019, so he has an existing mortgage with a bank.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You can refinance.
With, what is it, a deed of trust and a promissory note? Is that what's needed?
You just need a new mortgage deed registered on the house and pay off the old mortgage. That's very simple. You need to get an attorney to do it for you.
You mind if I plug a firm, Drew?
Go ahead.
So Cirio and Higdon in Towson, Maryland, has an affiliated title company. So when you have a situation where you need a loan and then you need to do title work, that's nice. It's all in-house right there.
Yeah, and Jeff Higdon's been on my show before. He's a very good attorney.
Yeah,
does great
how do you
work.
Spell his name? I'm sorry.
Higdon.
Well, I can give you his phone number, 410-828-1946.
Okay. So what is the pros and I heard the negative. What is the pro versus an outright gift and filing a 709 gift tax? In other words,
what are you worth? Are you worth 5 million, 50 million, 10 million? Less than that?
North of 10 million.
Okay. So you'd probably have to file the gift tax return.
I'm sorry.
But you'd probably have to file the gift tax return, the 709. But it's no big deal. You won't owe any money, and it's no big deal.
So is it better to do that, or is it better to do the loan?
It really doesn't matter either way. It's totally.
Let me jump in, because I think the advertised reason that people give for that is that you might be able to give an allowable interest rate that's lower than the market interest rate, and therefore you're passing some financial benefit to the next generation without having gift tax.
Right. And the point that I made earlier, which is you may have money sitting in a bank account earning 0.01%. So you lend it to your son or daughter and you get 3% on your money. And if you don't get it, it doesn't matter. You weren't getting it anyway, you know? So either one, I don't think it's a big deal either way. Whichever you go, do the mortgage or do the 709. I don't think it's in your situation, a major deal.
Okay. Yeah, I'm weighing the pros and cons of it.
And you're married, right?
We'd have to look at all the specifics to be able to answer that more general, you know, more than the general way we're answering it right now. But now, with what you've told me, I think either way works perfectly fine for you.
Okay, yeah, I might give you a ring on it. Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right, and happy birthday.
Thank you. I answered your question anyway.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jim. All right, let's go right to Lee in Towson. Lee, how can we help?
Happy birthday.
There you go.
You've conditioned them well, Drew.
I taught them. Go ahead, Lee.
Before I get my question, I want to mention Bulwer Equitable for home insurance. I have that. I had a big claim around 20-some thousand, and it worked fine.
Yeah, I tell clients all the time. I had a client not too long ago. We recommended Baltimore Equitable Insurance. I'm not a big fan of theirs, but I certainly would never dissuade anyone from doing it.
And my question is, should your car liability insurance, should that the amount kind of like equal your net worth? How should that go as far
for what? Umbrella?
For auto, but you're heading the right direction.
I for example, if you have $500,000 on your car insurance, is that enough?
Depends on your assets, Lee. If your assets are only $500,000, then I would say yes, it's perfectly fine, $500,000. But if your assets are like, Jim, who was talking earlier, I'd want a $2 million, maybe even a $5 million umbrella insurance policy on top of that.
Do you know what umbrella insurance is, Lee?
Yeah, I do. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe our listeners don't, Mike.
Yeah, so umbrella insurance is a policy that's very inexpensive, and it comes in to cover further liability above your underlying policy limits. So if Lee has $500,000 in auto liability and the floor of his umbrella is $500,000 and the ceiling of his umbrella is $2 million, well, his normal auto policy covers the first $500,000 and then the next $1.5 million is covered by the umbrella policy, and it's very inexpensive.
The next $2 million is covered by the umbrella.
So two on top of the five, even though it's a $2 million. Okay.
Yeah. $2,500,000. Yeah, because remember, the first $500,000 was paid by the auto. The $2 million comes in over and above that. So it's $2,500,000.
There you go.
Yeah. And it probably only costs, what, about $325 a year for a typical umbrella policy of $2 million. So that makes it even more interesting. So, yeah, you know, it depends on your net worth. And, you know, if your net worth's under $1 million, maybe just a $500,000 million auto policy is going to work. But if your net worth is more than $1 million, I'm going to want an umbrella on top of that.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Doug.
All right. Good question. Very good question.
Thanks, Lee.
All right, Mikey, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922. I don't even know why I'm getting that. We only got a minute left to go, you know?
Well, we didn't get a lot of time to talk today, so we can probably keep going on risk management next month. But let me give an example. I like to give the specific ones that people don't think about. So if you have, a little interesting insurance tidbit I found out from our agent is that if you have an ATV or UTV that you use to plow the driveway, but let's say you're like me and you're nice and you try to go out and do your neighbor's driveways. Well, if you're on your own property, your homeowners will cover it. But if you go on off your property, then you no longer have that initial layer of coverage for your umbrella policy. You need to actually insure the ATV, UTV, or tractor, whichever you're using to plow your neighbor's snow, just in case you accidentally run over their dog or knock down in the corner of their house. So that's just one of those things, and that's why risk management has to be an annual discussion, right?
It has to be looked at for each individual. What do you have? What are your risks? What things do you have? Where are they going? What are you doing with them? There's all kinds of things. And we didn't even address the life insurance, and that's a big topic that's easily mistaken by many of our clients, like yourself, many people like your age, 35, yep, 40 years of age.
Kids.
It's horrible how bad that insurance is we see for clients that come in. So anyway, Mike, we're out of time, unfortunately. We'll talk more about this next time.
All right.
Are you going to be with me next week?
You know I will be.
No, it's the week after next. I'll be in Maryland with you.
And I'll be in Colorado. No, actually, I will be in Maryland with you. Yes.
There you go. All right. This is Drew Tignanelli going to celebrate the great day, July 31st.
Happy birthday, Drew.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.